Happy 4th of July, everyone. I'm Mike Maino, pleased to be sitting with representatives of the Chorus of Westerly. Music director Andrew Howell is here, and executive director Ryan Saunders is here. And we are going to be talking about the POPS program, the special presentation at Wilcox Park, and all the wonderful things that have been happening with the Chorus of Westerly on this very special show on the 4th of July. So it's Birthday America, and nice to see you both back in the studios with us. Let's catch up a little bit on what's been happening with the Chorus of Westerly. Let's start with you, Andrew, the music director. You've been there now for how many years as director since Bunky left?
Yeah, this is my seventh season taking over for Bunky after 53 seasons, so I have a little ways to go. This is also our 60th season, so it's been a pretty big year for us. We've had a lot of celebrations, done some great collaborations, and it's been quite a season so far.
And for those of you that don't know, Bunky is a nickname of George Kent. And he actually came back and did some stuff with you this year, right?
He did. Just on our May concert this year, we did Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, two movements out of that, the second and fourth. And he came in to conduct the first piece he ever conducted with the chorus back in 1959. Wow. When it was the concert choir of Christ Church in Westerly, which was the Dettingen Te Deum. And he did a couple of movements of that with us. So it was really nice to bring it full circle after 60 years and have him back with us again.
Right. I'm sure people have asked you many times about following in his footsteps, and I know how that goes. I had to follow in my father's footsteps. So is it something you get over quickly, or you always just have that feeling of like, I wonder what George would do here?
It took a little while. He's still around, so, you know, I get feedback from him every now and then, but mm-hmm. for the most part, he seems to be pretty happy with the way things are going. Now that I'm 7 years in, people have, for the most part, stopped reminding me of the shoes that I have to fill, and I feel like the chorus
me,
is,
right?
is mine there, yeah, so it's been going very well, though.
All right, great. And Ryan, your role as executive director is to keep Andrew in line, right?
I think that's it, yeah. I think I make sure he's on the podium and his arms are moving and, right. and make sure that there are people in front of him and behind him. I think that's generally the best way to describe my job. So, yeah, I'm happy to be the wingman for Andrew to make sure everything that goes well and that find him the resources to make his vision for the Chorus of Westerly possible.
Is it fair to call the Chorus of Westerly a community chorus, in your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for a period of time, some people looked at community choruses and said, you know, not looking at it at the highest artistic level, but that's not the case with us. I mean,
right.
I think that's what the Chorus of Westerly is. We strive for the high artistic standards, but we are a community of music. You know, we're an intergenerational chorus that has kids and adults, you know, a child singing along their parent alongside their grandparent, doing these great things, singing these giant POPS concerts, seeing these big classical concerts, going on these tours. But it is a community, and, you know, the singers are not just from Westerly. They're from about 24 different cities and towns from both Rhode Island, Connecticut, and a few from Massachusetts. So our thread, our kind of what brings us together is music. So community chorus is an appropriate word.
Now, I don't want to mislead people. When they hear the word community chorus, they're thinking about 12 people that get together once in a while and try to sing something.
Right.
That's, as you mentioned, not the case. A professional level is probably a much better term because you're one of the largest with, what, almost 200 people involved?
Yeah, there are about 200 people on the active roster. They don't all sing every given concert, but we ended up being anywhere from about 160 to 180 on a particular performance. And, you know, I think, you know, sometimes we use the word symphonic chorus, too, to better describe the size and scope of it is. But, for you know, we're pretty big. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't see choruses this size often in small towns. I mean, again, you see big choruses that are paired up with some of the bigger orchestras. And I think that's another part that of us that is unique is that, you know, we are a lead organization being the chorus. Usually the orchestras of these big things are the lead organization and they bring in a chorus or have
right.
a satellite chorus
the
or something.
Backup singers. So
right.
to speak.
So we present for our own season and program everything and produce everything and hire in our own pro orchestras and stuff like that. So we do it a little bit on the flip, which that's pretty rare and unique, mm-hmm. Not just in the US, but in the world. But, you know, George had this vision in 60 years ago now, which is amazing, to start something like this. And he did it so well for five decades. And the last, you know, almost a decade now, we've had Andrew at the helm. And it just continues on. And it's a great Every year is another adventure, and sometimes we're doing similar works to what we've done in the past, but and sometimes we're doing new works, but every year might be similar, but it's always there's something a little bit different, and the organization continues to evolve.
And one of the impressive things is the fact that you're both sitting here professionally. A lot of community choruses would not have that opportunity to have anyone that, you know, maybe they give the director $10 a week or something, but this is a professional organization in that sense. There is a staff.
Absolutely, yeah. We have a professional staff that are running all of the logistics behind the scenes, and I'm lucky to be, you know, full-time in this position as well. So, yeah, we've got a lot of background there. One of the other things to piggyback on what Ryan was saying that makes us special that I don't think has been mentioned yet is the makeup of the chorus, which is adults and children. So we are that intergenerational chorus with about 100 adults and 90 children from age 8 to 18. So that's another thing that is pretty unique, is that these kids are getting to sing Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, Carmina Burana, not just the children's part in Carmina Burana, but everything in Carmina Burana. They're putting on these concerts standing side by side with the adults and performing the entire symphonic season alongside.
Now I think one of the challenges would be that you have to kind of track these younger people as they go along, and who used to be an alto is now, or who used to be a soprano is now, you know, that kind
yes.
of thing.
Yes. Well, we do. We have our own feeder program for the young men. So our trebles turn into tenors and basses, and, you know, and then go off to college and hopefully continue on singing there. But yeah, we have many groups of kids that rehearse in separate ensembles, and then everything comes together for the final concert week there. But we've got our youngest group of kids, which are the 7, 8, 9 year olds. Really. And then we have a couple of other ensembles as they progress through our musicianship training, where they're more prepared and they have specific education that they're getting at each point.
All right. Well, let's get started with a piece of music that the chorus has done and we've played before, but it's very fitting to be doing today, and that's the Star Spangled Banner. National anthem sung by the Chorus of Westerly. Andrew, let's get to another piece of music, another example, and tell us what you have next.
All right. Every couple of marches, we get to do a concert that is lightly accompanied or unaccompanied. And in 2018, we did this piece by Mark Miller, Draw the Circle Wide.
Thank you.
Andrew, considering the size of the Chorus of Westerly, I'm presuming there must be some turnover now and then, people coming and going for whatever reason, off to school, new jobs, retiring, whatever, and then replacements are needed. How does that work?
Absolutely. And this is the time over the summer when we are holding open auditions. So if anyone would like to come in and sing with us, they can check out our website, chorusofwesterly.org, for the audition requirements. We take children from age 8 and up. Very simple audition for them. They come in, sing a little bit for me, and then we talk about the season and what the commitment involves for the year for them. For adults, it's a little bit more stringent. We're looking for people with previous choral experience to come in with some prepared sections of repertoire. And I would love to hear all voice parts, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, and any children that are interested in joining us for our 61st season this coming year.
So would children have to be sponsored or guardian type of thing? How does that work? They just walk in the door on their own?
Oh, yeah. Well, if they want to, I suppose. But yeah, we would like the parent to be there to be able to talk about the commitment for the season.
Okay.
For kids, it's just as much on the parents as it is on the kids. The kids come to rehearsals, but it's the parents who get them there,
right,
and make sure that they are fully participating in the season.
Excellent. All right. And let's go to another piece of music before we take our first break. This one is called If You Love Me.
Yes, so this was actually written by one of our Chorus of Westerly alum for us on that same March 2018 concert, and it is the same text as Tallis's famous motet, If You Love Me.
Chorus of Westerly here on WCRI. Andrew Howell, music director, is here with me. I'm Mike Mano. Also, Ryan Saunders is here, the executive director, and he is actually Ryan Saunders. Not Saunders,
Saunders,
right?
There's many Saunderses. Yes, no, I'm Ryan Saunders, the executive director.
There is an S at the end.
There is an S. Saunders.
Last time I said Sanders.
That's all right.
I got the Saunders part.
I think we say, like I said, my sportscaster name is Brian Sanders, so right. I'm happy to do right. that.
So it's not Andrew Howells. It's Andrew Howell. Though.
Unfortunately, I'm not related to the British composer.
Herbert Howells? But his son's name is Henry Howell, and the middle name of Henry Herbert. Howell is Herbert.
So yes, like, we couldn't resist that musical joke to name him Henry Herbert Howell. Close enough.
Somewhere they rejoice in England.
Three H's.
That's right. Triple H.
Hubert Humphrey was Triple H, wasn't he?
He was.
So there you go. I don't know if that's any tie-in.
No.
Okay, you're not related to Hubert Humphrey.
No,
he
not
had
a
metrodome named after him in Minneapolis. But that's a story for a different day.
Not the same thing. We are with the Chorus of Wesley celebrating 4th of July on this special program on WCRI, talking about the chorus's doings and so forth. And one of the big things this summer is a summer camp, correct?
Yeah. So what we've done every year of our existence is we have been able to take all of the Chorus of Westerly children to New Hampshire to a camp called Ogonts, which is actually owned by our founding director, George Kent, and his wife, Lynn. And we run a week-long summer camp for all of the kids of the Chorus of Westerly. And it's a chance for them to get a head start in the season's music, to rehearse with Andrew and start to learn what we're going to do in the year ahead, but also to get some music fundamentals, music skills. But then beyond that, these kids get the full summer camp experience. So swimming and boating and tennis and arts and crafts and games of capture the flag and fun night activities like dances and snipe hunts and things like that. So it's one of the unique things that we do with the Chorus kids. It's just us up there. It's our own program. And we let the kids of the Chorus do it. We really design it around their needs, both musically and to come together as a team. We take all these kids in need blind to the Chorus, meaning there's dues that they have to pay and there's camp fees, but it doesn't matter. When a kid joins the Chorus of Westerly, we're going to find a way to get them there, even if it's finding scholarship. And the last, at least as long as I've been executive director, which is in 5 days from now, will be 10 years.
Wow, you're old.
I'm getting there, yes. I started when I was 30. So now I know how old I am today. But we've been able to give 100%, fulfill aid needs 100% all the way through. So it's a really big core part of our program. I think if you ask the kids honestly what their favorite part about being in the Chorus is, they probably would say camp right to start. And I think that's how we get some of them to stay with us for a very long period of time. But by going through this camp process with us, I think that's how we can really work them so hard when they get back to Westerly. Like we essentially it's their training to be able to sing a whole weekend of Messiah or a whole weekend of the Brahms Requiem or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a very unique and very special place, and we get to do that in just about a month.
Excellent. All right. Let's get to some more music. And this is actually not going to be the Chorus of Westerly that you're going to hear. It's going to be the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, correct, Andrew?
Correct. Yeah, this is a bit of a selection from the last movement of Beethoven's Ninth, which we performed for the first time since 1974 this May, and the second and fourth movement of Beethoven's Ninth, and then gave our audience a little taste of it, this selection that you'll hear here on our Summer Pops concert as well.
Thank you.
that most groups cannot depend on ticket sales for events and so forth. It takes a lot to put this together, and financially it's a considerable challenge, and you have ways of doing that, I'm sure.
Yeah, we certainly do. I mean, to run the chorus in a given year costs, our operating budget is just under
$800,000.
$800,000. Yeah, and a concert like summer.
You know, if you cut your salary from $500,000 down a little, that could help.
Yeah, I keep telling them, you know, like arts administrators are overpaid, and they just say no. You know, like this is. I mean, I gave up my lucrative career playing baseball just to
and the
work.
Maserati that you drive.
Yeah,
around
in. Yeah, that Maserati is out there. I might have to downgrade to a Porsche at some point in time. No, but we have the bulk of our costs are actually all artistic related, because, you know, when we're hiring big, huge professional orchestras for these concerts, right, and putting things on, the Summer Pops concert we just had alone was a $94,000 venture.
Wow.
And we have to raise every dollar of that from zero each year. And we have over 600 individual donors and probably over 60 or 70 business supporters in the local towns and Risca, of course. But we do have to raise more than $500,000 every year to keep the chorus going. And, you know, we're always looking for help in any way, shape, or form. We're a 501c3 charity. So donations to us are, you know, you can take them off your taxes.
Go right
on the website. You can go to chorusofwesterly.org, or you can mail us a check to 119 High Street, Westerly, Rhode Island. But we've been really lucky that we've been able to do this for 60 years and to grow and to keep offering this program. We would not be able to do it without such great philanthropic support from people all over New England, but especially in Connecticut and Rhode Island. I mean, that's
right.
And anytime we have a major venture that we need to engage in, a tour, a special artistic project, or even getting our hall work done. You know, we were beneficiaries of the cultural bond several years back. We just put $1 million of work into our building, which was our cultural fund allocation. But we have a lead paint and siding issue, which is a $470,000 project outside of our regular operating. So we're constantly raising money, but it goes directly back into the art or in our home for the art. So chorusofwesterly.org if you want to help out in any way.
Excellent. You should do that. We should all do that. Go to the website and check it out and support the chorus whenever you have the opportunity. Let's get to another piece of music, Andrew, and tell us what this is going to be.
This is another Mormon Tabernacle one. It is a beautiful Mack Wilberg arrangement of Homeward Bound by Marta Keene, which, again, what we performed on our Pops concert.
Me not to the power, set me
The Chorus of Westerly in a special presentation here on WCRI. I'm Mike Mano, very pleased to be sitting with two major factors of the Chorus of Westerly. The music director, Andrew Howell, is here, and the executive director, Ryan Saunders, is here. And Ryan, we've talked about donations and things like that. But this is a big year coming up, 61st, is that right?
Yeah, well, we're going to, this is our 61st season is going to start out in the fall, but we're going to keep celebrating our 60th birthday all the way through the end of the year here, kind of like Disney did for one of their big anniversaries.
Okay, there you go.
And we're going to, since we were actually, our first concert was in December 1959.
I see, so now we're going to December.
Now we got our 60th birthday to celebrate, but we're going to do that, the 60th birthday celebration. We're actually going to do that the first weekend of November. We're going to have all these events and community sings and things like that, and a big gala event that's going to be actually headlined by the King Singers.
Wow.
On Saturday, November 2nd, I think, or November 3rd. Well, I don't have my calendar.
We'll be back before that.
We'll be back before that.
But, I can check it out online.
But then we have, and Andrew can talk more about it, but then we have a pretty good blockbuster season, regular season for the chorus. It starts right after that.
Yeah, we have some big hits coming up this season. We have Handel's Messiah, which won't be in its entirety, but will be the greatest hits selections from Messiah in November, our traditional Christmas Pops concert series in December. We are going to be shifting our season a little bit in the spring, and in April we'll be doing Brahms' German Requiem, which is very exciting for me. Always been one of my favorite pieces. Always
was challenging.
Absolutely. Pretty challenging. Was one of our founding director George Kent's favorite pieces, and tended to be on about an 8 or 9 year rotation, basically so that every kid who sang through from their childhood to when they went off to college got a chance to sing this piece of music. So it has affected a lot of us over the years, and he conducted it, of course, in his final season, because what better way to go out than with the German Requiem. And so now it will actually be my 8th season, and I finally get the opportunity to conduct the Requiem. So I'm very excited about that. It's just a heck of a piece of music. So that'll be that, and Messiah are some real barn burners. They'll be a great year for us. And then we have our 40th Summer Pops concert in June.
There's more.
Oh, there actually is more. That's right. We're going to be doing a Spring Pops concert as well in May, which you'll have to wait and see what program is. Stay tuned, but it will be some familiar favorites for people to come out, and
so
a little lighter fare.
The classical to an American classic for this next piece of music, and this is a medley of George M. hits, right?
Absolutely, yes. This is another one from Summer Pops.
Thank you.
great music celebrating the 4th of July, the Chorus of Westerly. And we have something to bring up because we talked about donations and so forth.
But yeah, I mean, there. If you get a chance, go to our website, chorusofwesterly.org, to see all the donors for Summer Pops and the Chorus. But I do want to send a thank you out to our presenting sponsor for this one, which is Yale New Haven Health Westerly Hospital, who is our premier presenting sponsor, and also to Mr. and Mrs. Robin Marvel, who paid for the fireworks this year, which was a real great treat. But a real shout out to Dr. Douglas and his wife, Jean Rayner, who have been steering our Summer Pops committee and leading the way since its very first year in 1981. And we've just wrapped up the 39th Summer Pops, and these two have been visionaries for us for every year that we've been in existence. And next summer, we'll be so delighted to actually hit the 40th Summer Pops. And that's thanks to the Rainers' leadership, but all these donors and all the wonderful people who have helped out the Chorus of Westerly for so many years.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for coming in today, Ryan. Andrew, thank you. We have one more piece of music. Tell us what that's going to be.
We do. We have a Richard Rodney Bennett arrangement for the Robert Shaw Chorale of America the Beautiful, another one from our Summer Pops performance.
Happy 4th of July, everyone.
Oh,
Happy 4th of July, everyone.